Hey, everybody. What's going on? Rob Cesternino here with a very special podcast here for you in our Big Brother coverage. We are going to talk to a man who normally spends his time talking about fantasy sports for ESPN and is the author of a new book called Fantasy Life. We're going to talk to the talented Mr. Roto, Matthew Berry, about Big Brother. But first, just want to remind you guys about our Big Brother coverage from last night. We had our epic recap of week two and the big eviction, the blind side of Nick from last night. And we talked about that all with Big Brother 14 winner Ian Terry. And then right after this, I'm going to speak to Nick himself, and we'll have our exit interview with Nick Juhas. Then I will also, on that podcast, we'll get an update. It was a crazy night once again on the Big Brother live feed, so we will bring in Brian Lynch to talk about everything that went on the Big Brother live feed. It's a jam-packed day here on Rob Has a Podcast. Make sure you don't miss an episode. When you subscribe, go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. All right, everybody, we have a very special treat today. On the line, we have the senior fantasy analyst at ESPN. He is also the author of the new book, Fantasy Life. Here he is. You know him as the talented Mr. Roto, Matthew Berry. Matthew, how are you?
Rob, I'm good. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Very excited to finally do this. We met back at the Podcast Awards. How many Podcast Awards do you have? Five?
We've the Fantasy Focus podcast that we do for ESPN. We're very lucky. We've won five. We've won People's Choice, which is sort of the Best Picture podcast. We've won the People's Choice twice, and we've won Best in Sports three times. So it's a goofy, dumb little show that me and Nate Ravitz and Jay Soderberg, a.k.a. Pod Vader, do, and we're thrilled that they let us do it.
Yes, the highly decorated Matthew Berry, and we met you guys back in January, and we started talking about a Big Brother, and we had a fun time, and Pod Vader and the current Mrs. Roto.
Correct.
Yeah, lots of fun. And so we talked about how you were a big fan of Big Brother. And And before you get too caught up in all these fantasy drafts coming up in August, we figured we'd get you in here to talk about some Big Brother and hear about Fantasy Life, available on Tuesday.
Yes. Yes, fantasylifethebook.com for all the information about the book. I'll tell you real quickly about the book, and then let's just talk Big Brother, because I love talking Big Brother. The book is, if you're not a fantasy football fan and you're just like, I don't care. Here's the thing. You don't need to be a fantasy player to enjoy the book. The book is just all the craziest, funniest, most outrageous stories I've heard, unbelievable attempts at cheating, like the funniest trophies, weird places people have had to draft. There's a league, Rob, in Omaha, Nebraska.
Well, I watched the video.
Called the Tattoo League. The loser of this league, for your listeners, the loser of this league has to get a tattoo chosen by the winner. Like, not some lame-ass henna tattoo. This is like a permanent rest-of-your-life tattoo. So there is a guy, they've done it for 3 years now. They all signed a contract, this league. There's a guy in Omaha, Nebraska, walking around with a tattoo of Justin Bieber's face on his leg. It says, fantasy loser, hashtag YOLO swag.
And that's getting worse every day with Justin Bieber.
No doubt. Oh, no, that guy is going to hate life in about 20, I mean, probably in about 6 months. But definitely, like, I mean, think about it when he's like 50 years old. And what's that a tattoo of? Justin Bieber. Who's Justin Bieber? It's brutal. So 3 years in a row they've been doing this. So it's all sorts of stories like this. And, you know, if you play fantasy, you can appreciate this, but you don't have to have played fantasy to understand, like, a Justin Bieber tattoo is funny.
Yeah. And the brilliant thing about that is most of these fantasy leagues, the biggest problem is the people that are out of it stop playing their teams. But if you, last place means you're going to get a Justin Bieber tattoo, you're going to have a very active league, like no shady trades or anything like that after somebody's out of it.
Yeah, no, that is the greatest anti-tanking rule ever.
Yeah, so very good. I am a big fantasy sports player, big fantasy football guy, and I love your stuff. And very excited to get it going on another fantasy football season.
Terrific. Yeah, no, I am too. It's, you know, we're already starting to talk about it. The draft kit's up on ESPN.com, so it's a lot of fun. And if any of your listeners haven't played, I encourage you to try. Trust me, once you get into it, You will love it.
Yeah. And I also, we've set up a special link for Matthew's book for our listeners. If you want to get Matthew's book, go directly, or you can go to robhaswebsite.com/fantasylife. That takes you to the order page on Amazon. And then go to Fantasy Life, the book. And Matthew's got some special gifts for you guys if you do a pre-order. But what do you get if you do a pre-order on the book?
Yeah, if you do it after you go to robhasapodcast.com, you order the book through the link there. If you fill out the form on fantasylifethebook.com, you get a bonus chapter. I wrote an exclusive chapter just for people who pre-order the book. You get an autograph. You get an autograph book plate for the book, and I'm doing an exclusive chat for all the people. So we'll do that in early August. So get all your questions out So the only people that get into this chat are people that pre-ordered the book.
Okay, good stuff. So Matthew, did you watch The Big Brother last night?
I did. I actually woke up early this morning to watch it. We were having some cable problems, so God bless the CBS app for having it bright and early. So yes, I did watch it. I had known what happened because a couple of people that I follow on Twitter, I didn't realize, were also Big Brother fans, and they spoiled it for me. But yes, I am up to date, my friend.
Yeah. All right. So what was your take? It was a real Sharknado of drama last night in the Big Brother house.
I was thrilled.
Yeah.
I was thrilled. I am anti-Aaron. I am anti sort of the moving company. I am rooting for Alyssa. I was happy when Helen won head of household. Very happy. I was very happy. I was shocked when Spencer sort of flipped. I'm not surprised that McCray flipped and voted Nick out. So we can talk about all of it. I mean, we'll take it one by one. I'm glad that, I think like most of America, I'm sort of appalled and horrified by, the racist remarks of some of the people that are in the Big Brother household. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm thrilled that CBS, for a while they were ignoring it, but I think the pressure got too much and this is a victory for social media. The pressure got too much online and in social media that finally they addressed it, and they showed a lot of Aaron's comments and some of the other people. They've sort of given Spencer a free pass so far, it seems like to me, because he's had some controversial comments at all. Not even controversial, horrible comments.
Yeah.
There's no controversy. Like, I don't think anyone's arguing for what he believes in. But anyway, so it was good to see that CBS sort of finally did that.
And it's been interesting. It's been interesting that they sort of like, okay, nothing to see here, and they sort of avoided it, and then they've sort of like are steering into the curve, and the ratings have been good since they started doing that.
Well, of course. I mean, controversy sells, rightly or wrongly, it does. So I was always surprised that they went away from it because it is controversial. And part of what Big Brother always does is they cast really good villains. And I was just like, that's a great villain. Like, take it out of the social context for a second, just from a TV, if you want to be like sort of cold and calculating, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed racist.
Yeah.
It's a great villain, right? This physically attractive but personality-wise repugnant person, spewing kind of all these racial jokes and being so completely insensitive and offensive, like that's a great TV villain. Like you hate that person, and so I was amazed that they sort of tried to protect her. It seemed like for a week or so.
Yeah. So, very good. So you said you are an Alyssa fan. Is that because you are a big Rachel fan and she's inherited your love of Rachel?
Yeah. You know what? I know most people, I don't know why, right? You just sort of, but I always liked Rachel. I always felt bad for her, and she's just an emotional mess, and her and Brendan's such a, sort of a doofy guy. And I don't know why, but I always rooted for her. I guess I always, with the underdog. And Rachel, for both the years that she was in Big Brother, was always sort of targeted. It seemed like she was constantly targeted, and I think she brought some of it on herself, but I don't think she brought all of it on herself. And for whatever reason, it was just, such an unbelievable run in the last Big Brother, the one she won. I don't know, I just sort of rooted for her, and I think immediately, I wouldn't necessarily gravitate to Alyssa because she was Rachel's sister, but I think I gravitated to her because everyone was so anti her because she was Rachel's sister. You know, and like people are like, and, why am I blanking on the guy's name? Oh, Jeremy. Yeah, the guy with the bad tattoos. So Jeremy, you know, immediately like...
Did he lose a fantasy league?
Let's clear the air. Like, what, dude? You know, like...
Yeah. Do you think Jeremy was in the tattoo league? Is that what happened?
If he is, he's clearly lost many, many years in a row.
Yeah.
I just thought she got picked on unnecessarily and really got beat up on, and I thought that was unfair. And so I think... I just sort of like, oh, like, don't pick on her. You know, like, I think people, and I think that's one of the reasons she's won MVP 2 weeks in a row, is because I don't think people generally don't like bullies. And I think there are a couple of bullies in the Big Brother house with no provocation, you know, just sort of immediately, oh, because she happens to be related to someone who's done well at this game, whatever, you know, like, so it's sort of weird.
Yeah. Do you like the MVP twist?
I like it in the sense that it's obviously helped Alyssa, but not really. I don't love it. Usually I'm a big fan of the Big Brother twists. This one I feel like it's a little too, you know. I don't like the audience having an influence on what happens in the house. I think that's my biggest problem with it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people have said that Nick was, you know, he was could have been a really great player had he stayed in the house, and he got kind of screwed. Do you feel like Nick had a lot of potential to go far in the game?
I do, but I don't know why you think, so people feel like Nick got screwed, really?
I think people feel like, well, not so necessarily screwed. A lot of people were not fans of the MVP twist, but also that they feel like the show is a worse show today than it was yesterday because Nick would have been a player down the line.
I agree with that. I mean, I think he's a, you know, he's a good looking kind of charming guy. He's got all these yentas after him. like, I think that would have been fun to sort of see how that played out. I loved that, you know, Gina Marie and Jesse were like throwing themselves at him and he's just like, no, not really. No, seriously, just stop it. Like the whole Gina Marie montage and the Jesse one from an episode before, were really fun. So I agree with you. Like, I think he's, I definitely sort of saw some Coach Dan in him,
yeah.
You know, a little bit of that. So I agree with you that the show is lesser, but I think he made his own bed. Like, I think he handled Alyssa so unbelievably stupidly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he should have completely thrown the veto competition. And then when Alyssa came up and still gave him like a second chance and just like, look, if I, you know, if you'll give me this, you know, word or whatever. And he's just like, I don't know, let me think about it. And that kind of stuff. Like, why he didn't lie to her face. I couldn't believe Alyssa did that, by the way. I thought, Alyssa is playing an unbelievably dumb social game, you know, first in confiding in McCray and then what she handled with Nick. But it sort of felt like, you know, Nick just played that wrong entirely. And then I think if he just reacted the right way to Alyssa, he'd still be here.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. And also, had he handled the situation better with Jesse, you know, he basically, Jesse was like throwing herself at him. And
yeah.
Had he like strung her along a little bit, you know, given her a little something to cling on to, so she wouldn't have been voting against him last night.
No, exactly right. Like, I don't know why he didn't flirt with her a little bit or give her some sort of hope. So, it was, you know, I was very surprised about that.
Yeah. All right.
Not as surprised as I am, Rob. As Amanda and McCray. What's going on? Seriously.
Yeah. Can you believe that? I mean, it seemed like it was maybe just like a fling, but it's like a honest to God showmance now.
Yeah. It just goes to show that no matter who you are, if you get stuck in a house with a hot woman long enough, eventually they get so bored, they'll say, fine. That's the only thing I can think of because... McCray, to his credit, is even like, what? Like, I love like Amanda like getting into bed with him, and he's just like, he's so nonplussed because he's like, it doesn't even occur to him that she's trying to hit on him.
Yeah,
he's like, she's so out of my league, and then he's just like, all right, and then all of a sudden she takes her shirt off, and she's like, huh? And then she references the fact that you can't take your eyes off him or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Like, you know, and you're just sitting there like, yo, McCray, the light don't get any greener. You know, like, what are you doing, brother? And so it was just, you know, it's the most unlikely showmance, I believe, in Big Brother history.
Yeah, and I know you watch the TV show and aren't a live feed kind of guy, but
correct,
you should check out on YouTube the Amanda's Band-Aid bikini, which she had made recently this week.
Okay.
after you check out the Tattoo League video on YouTube. Now, in you know, all the fantasy drafts are coming up here in August. Everybody's got their rankings out. But if you were to make your rankings of the Big Brother cast, who would you take with the number one pick right now to win the game on Big Brother?
Yes.
Who do you have ranked number
one? Not who I'm rooting for, but who to win the game. I think McCray is sort of interesting, and I think somebody like Judd. I always feel like the people that you kind of clue into at the beginning are never there at the end. Like, you know, I think about like Ian last year. Mm-hmm. Like, I always think it's like the socially awkward guys. I think it's the people that don't appear to be a threat.
Yeah.
Howard, I think, is actually playing a very smart game. We'll see what happens now with the moving company. I think that's pretty much done. But, you know, so you could see him because I think he's playing a very smart social game. And obviously it would appear that he's going to have a lot of physical strength in some of those competitions. So I think he's sort of interesting. But I think I would probably take Howard with the number one pick.
Wow.
But on the back around, I think there's a couple sleepers, like somebody like Judd, who you're not even on anyone's radar. And you're going to look up and the next thing you know, there's going to be like six people left and he's going to be one of them. So he's not going to anger everyone. He's just going to sort of float along. And if he's got any kind of game, he's got a shot to sort of sneak through.
All right. Now, on the fantasy...
Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I think Howard... I was surprised he ended up on the wrong side of the numbers last night because it seemed like he was playing a really strong game so far. But I was very surprised to see him end up voting against Alyssa and have her stay in the house, but I think he can rebound from that. And honestly, if this was a football draft, I think I would also take him with the number one pick because the guy is pretty jacked.
Yeah. No, he's certainly the most athletic guy in that house. There's no question about it.
Definitely. Now on the Fantasy Focus podcast, you guys often play a name game where you try to select between two players and tell us who is going to be the better fantasy player. Could we do a quick name game with the Big Brother players in the house? You tell me who has the best chance of going further in the game.
You bet. Yeah,
all
let's
right.
do this.
I don't have a special drop. We'll have to maybe Pod Vader can slap something
Send
together. Yeah. All right. Here we go. How about Andy or Helen?
Oh boy, that's a great one because Andy also is really likable. I think he's really likable. I'm going to go with Helen. That I believe Helen is it appears to be so far a smarter player. Seems to be making alliances. I thought she handled Aaron really well and that whole situation. So I'm going to go with Helen.
Yeah. Though Helen, I'm worried about her peaking too soon here in the game because it's a very long, much like fantasy. I also feel like, you know, if you're like 4-0 and you have like the best team after 4 weeks, a lot of times that guy doesn't win the league. It's like the guy who's sort of like, you know, after like 8 games is like 4-4, but then picks up like the hot guy off the waiver wire and then comes on strong. I feel like Big Brother's the same way, where I feel like it's a long season and you can't maintain being in a great position the whole way through.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think a lot will be determined by who Helen puts up for nomination. So, I mean, I watch it in real time. You know, I don't watch the live feeds. I don't do any of the spoilers. It's honestly one of the things that my wife and I really enjoy doing together, you know, especially because it's 3 times a week. So we really enjoy the show. So we watch together. So I try not to do any of the online stuff so that, you know, her and I can watch it together and enjoy it. And we talk about it and that kind of stuff. So you may already know who Helen has put up.
No, they didn't do it yet.
They haven't done it yet. Okay.
Yeah.
So, oh yeah, it just happened last night. Okay. So, so I think a lot will depend on who she puts up and whether she puts a bigger target on her back and how effective that is. You know, if Alyssa wins MVP and do they, you know, they put all three guys up, do they put, like, you know, Jeremy, Spencer and Howard up? You know, do they manage to get rid of that? Do they put who's Jeremy's girlfriend again? Who's that?
Caitlin.
Caitlin, that's it. I knew it was
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I think a lot will depend on who Helen puts up and how she handles that. But my suspicion is that so far she's played a really smart game. And, you know, the fact that she got zero votes last night, I think she's got a shot at sort of flying under the radar.
Okay,
I think as long as Alyssa's there, she's still the bigger target.
One more name game. Let's go on the other end of the spectrum. Okay, name game, Jeremy or Aaron?
Oh, Jeremy.
You think Jeremy goes further than Aaron?
I do. I think he's a better competitor. I think people are getting very sick of Aaron's comments. She certainly didn't make any friends as head of household. She was an ineffective head of household. I mean, she blatantly said, "This is who I want to get out, and if I don't get her out, I want Helen out." And you know, neither happened. You know, Nick was her buddy. So I'm not very impressed. It's hard to say how much of my opinion of her is colored by, all of her racist comments and all that kind of stuff. But boy, I'm just not a fan. Like, she right. hasn't impressed me at all with her gameplay. She hasn't impressed me at all with, I mean, I guess she did win the HOH competition, like her and, but that was Jeremy too. You know, no, it's Jeremy. It's Jeremy. I'm trying to talk myself into Aaron and I'm like, no.
Right.
Jeremy. Stop it, Rob.
Do you think that Jeremy's lack of a social game, is that also some, like a guy like Jeremy, if he was in a fantasy league, would that be a disadvantage to, like, do you want, when you play fantasy sports, like if you were just to basically trash talk everybody in the league and like get everybody in the league hating you, isn't that a bad way to play fantasy sports as well as Big Brother?
Obviously, I think so. I think it affects your abilities to win Big Brother much more than it affects your abilities to win fantasy football, because once you do, you don't really need anyone. You know, you probably won't have trade partners, but you don't really need anyone. You can be a jerk to everyone. I don't think it's a fun way to play fantasy football, because the point is that fantasy football, ultimately, it's a hobby. It's something we do because we enjoy it. I mean, you do this podcast because you enjoy it. You and I both watch Big Brother because we enjoy it. And this is not fun. Like, you're making it less fun for everyone if you're a total jerk, and there's no fun in being a jerk, but I don't think it hurts your chances at winning that much. And listen, I've done deals with guys in fantasy leagues that I absolutely can't stand, but it was a deal that made my team better, and obviously that person thought it made their team better, so we did it.
See, I think in my fantasy leagues, I play in a long-time keeper league. I feel like the social game is very important, because the more people hate you, the more everybody's trying to block you from getting guys that you need, and nobody wants to make a trade with you. So I do think it's a factor, and that's one of the things I like about fantasy leagues, just like a reality show. I like that interpersonal dynamics as well.
Well, I think you'll enjoy the book then in a big way, because that's one of the big themes of the book, is just kind of the camaraderie of leagues and just different ways that leagues have sort of come together for people in really heartwarming ways and really funny ways. I got a league where the loser has to dress as a lion. This is very Big Brother. The loser has to dress as a lion.
A liontard?
A liontard, right. And the loser has to dress as a lion, and everyone in the league shoots him with a paintball gun.
Yeah.
they hunt him and shoot him with a paintball gun. Like, that's just funny. And like, you know, and they just, you know, the league told me, like, they just laugh. They laugh all day. You know, they just have a blast with it.
How did you find the people for the book? Do the people just contact you because you basically are Mr. Fantasy Football?
Yeah. I mean, I put out, some of them are story. I've been playing fantasy football since I was 14 years old, and I've been writing about it professionally since 1999. So some of the stories are ones that I've just heard over the years that I've collected. I've never really had a place to do anything with them, but just stories that have come at me. And then there is some where, yeah, I mean, once I sold the book and I was writing, I spoke on my podcast, I put it on my Twitter and my Facebook. I'm like, hey, I'm doing I'm doing a book on fantasy sports. Do you have a funny story? Do you have something interesting? Let me tell me your best fantasy story. And I got thousands upon thousands of submissions. And so it was actually difficult. The hard part wasn't finding stories. The hard part was choosing which ones to use, because I got tons of great ones.
All right. Can I ask you one fantasy football question before we go?
You can ask me anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, in your draft day manifesto this year, you say that the way to go, it's running back is back. And it feels like a lot of people are on board with, you know, wait on quarterback. And it feels like, you know, if everybody in the world is waiting on quarterback, at what point does it make sense to go against the grain and go quarterback early?
I think it depends on who else you would be drafting. I think it's hard to say, like, in a vacuum. I don't have a problem with taking Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees towards the end of the second round. That's where I have them ranked. I don't have a problem with Peyton Manning or Cam Newton in the fourth, you know, Brady or Matt Ryan, like, in the, you know, or any of the sophomores, the, you know, Russell Wilson, RG3, Colin Kaepernick, you know, in the sixth or seventh. I think it just depends on your scoring and how else your team is looking. I will say there comes a point, it depends. Like, I think there's 12 good quarterbacks this year. So, like, we just did a mock on ESPN.com, and one of the guys that I work with, he was waiting on quarterbacks, and the guy that took Tom Brady decided to take RG3 as well. And all of a sudden, you know, this guy who'd been waiting on quarterbacks so long, he's just stuck there now with Eli Manning, who's not very good. And from in a fantasy perspective, at least in my mm-hmm. opinion, certainly not a top 12 guy. So you want to wait, but you don't want to wait too long, depending on the size of your league.
All right. Well, it's going to be fun. Can't wait to get it all started back up in August. I will definitely be checking out Fantasy Life, the book. And you can, if you go to robhasawebsite.com/fantasylife, you can pre-order it. And if you pre-order it before Tuesday, Matthew's got some free swag for you guys for signing up for a pre-order. So very excited for the book, Matthew. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Always my pleasure to talk big brother, Rob. So thank you for allowing me to do so. And, you know, quick question for you as someone who studies this much more in depth than I do. Is this the most unlikable cast in Big Brother history?
It's tricky. You know, I have to say there has not been anybody that America has really, you know, wrapped their arms around. I mean, I guess Alyssa is the closest thing to it, but it's really like by association. I'm trying to think of a comparison of, you know, what you would make with, you know, that we have a superstar in Rachel and then her sibling is just sort of just becomes famous by association, but not really on anything that she's doing of her own merit. But it's
Ashley Simpson.
Yeah, I guess she's the Ashley Simpson of
one of the Kardashians. Like, yeah. Khloe and Kourtney were, you know,
she's a Robert
Kim
Kardashian.
Kim was the one who went out and made the tape.
Yeah,
Kim's the one who did the hard work, and you know.
So
is Rachel? That's a question for me because you're in this world. I'm not in this world. I'm just a fan of the show. Is Rachel really popular? Because I always felt like everyone hated Rachel, and I liked her because I felt like she was an underdog. But I felt like that she actually wasn't popular in this world. Is she?
I think she's popular with the hardcore super fans. I think she's popular because she's become, you know, such a big name and in the reality TV world. And I think to the super fans that are voting all, you know, so many times, the people that are really, you know, working the phones on these MVP votes, she's a very big deal. And she's also has, you know, I think like 80,000, 90,000 Twitter followers. So she's working the social media angles where nobody else has emerged to be popular. And she's just nobody's able to get past the Brentchel machine.
Who's got the most social media followers of anyone that's been in Big Brother?
Who? You know, maybe it's Rachel. I mean, it's either Rachel, you know, Evil Dick, Dan Giesling, one of these people.
Like my without knowing anything about anything, like the person I would guess would be Janelle.
Maybe Janelle. Yeah, it's possible too. I mean, it really comes down to a lot of stuff with the social media and really how much you work it. It might be Janelle. It's a good board bet. I'm not willing to say who has the most Twitter followers right now.
Fair enough. Here's one more question for you about this Big Brother, the whole Big Brother world, because it's fascinating to me, and I know it's a whole like separate world outside the show, and I just enjoy the show. But do people like Britney? Is Britney like a big, like they were like a fan favorite? I'm like, I always thought Britney was super annoying. Do people really like Britney? Is that legitimate? Like, she's like a big fan favorite? Do people like Britney?
I think that people really do like Britney, but I think last year when they brought back Mike Boogie and Dan and Janelle, they needed another woman who was sort of like an iconic Big Brother figure, and they just didn't have one. They didn't want to bring back Rachel 3 years in a row, and Rachel was getting married, so I don't know if they asked her and she couldn't do it. So they really were struggling to find a second iconic female Big Brother player, and they sort of, you know, okay, Britney, you know, she's attractive, she's sassy, people like that, so she's been on the show recently, so that's why they brought her back, in my opinion. And so I think people like her, but I think she's still in that second tier of Big Brother royalty.
Huh. That's interesting to me. What is your take on her?
I mean, I've enjoyed her on the show. She's funny. I don't find her to be one of the most strategic players, but I think she has a really good social game, and, you know, I think she's always good to have around on the show.
Fair enough. I think she's a moron when it comes to gameplay. Like, I agree with. I think she's cute. I think she has some. She occasionally has some funny lines. But her gameplay drives me crazy, and it's just very whiny and very stupid, and she comes across to me as very entitled. Uh-oh. You know, and.
Matthew, the hate's going too far on Britney.
No, I don't, whatever. She's as far as I'm concerned, she is a character on a TV show. Like, I'm sure she's a lovely person in person. Like, if I ever met her, I'm sure she'd be, you know, unbelievably nice and gracious. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm merely talking about you may actually know her in person.
I've never met her.
I've never met her. I'm only going off what I see on a TV show, and I'm judging her like sort of as a character on a TV show.
Yeah.
And I stand by my statement that her gameplay is terrible.
Okay. Well, she's never won.
She's never won, and she could have. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Janelle, who I think Janelle is one of the greatest players in Big Brother history, and she's never won. And like in a couple times, like she sort of got sandbagged, and she shouldn't have. But like there were a couple times where Janelle had no chance to win last year, the coaches year. Mm-hmm. She had no chance. Like, she wasn't given a fighting chance, I don't believe.
Yeah. Are you a Boogie and Will fan? Are you a Chilltown fan? Yeah.
Of course.
Makes sense.
I had a fantasy team named Chilltown at one point. No. Those guys are great. Those guys are hilarious. Although I will say, I don't know if you found this, I liked Boogie a little bit less without Will.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
Boogie by himself last year in the coaches year, I found to be less enjoyable than I did. I really liked him and Will together a lot.
Yeah. You
know, they're really fun together. Last year it got a little bit over the top with, some of the stuff. It wasn't as charming, I guess.
Yeah. Not as
Will
fun.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I am definitely a fan of Chilltown.
Yeah. Well, Matthew, thank you so much for coming on with us. All the best with the book, and really a pleasure today.
Thank you, Rob. My pleasure. I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Take care. All right, everybody. There you have it. That was Matthew Berry, the talented Mr. Roto. Be sure to check out his book, Fantasy Life. Go to robhasawebsite.com/fantasylife. If you pre-order, you can get those gifts from Matthew Berry. And of course, you'll help support Rob Has a Podcast. Always love getting to talk about some fantasy sports in the context of the reality TV show. We always have fun with AJ Mass, also from ESPN, and we'll talk to him in a couple of weeks when we get down to 12 players left in the Big Brother house. And then right after this, I'm going to speak with Nick and do our exit interview to talk with Nick about what he thinks now that it's been out of the house for just a couple of hours, and we'll check in with Brian Lynch as well. So stay tuned. Go to robhasawebsite.com for more Big Brother updates, and we'll talk to you again soon. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.